Ah, we can always count on the TV pundits and politicians to be mightily miffed. But in these days of bank bailouts, crumbling stock markets, massive layoffs, even the average American has plenty to be angry about. David Kennedy studies the intersection of economics, politics, and social history. I asked the Stanford University professor how outraged Americans should be in light of our current conditions.
Well, I think they should be plenty outraged. How outraged they are, I suppose, is another question. I think most of the expression of resentment and anger that we've seen attaches to the two things that are probably, other than their children, I suppose, or their spouses, most precious to people, which is their homes and their jobs. And as the unemployment rate accelerates, I think we're seeing a lot of that, particularly as the foreclosure rate accelerates. That puts millions of people in really severe jeopardy, financial and just in terms of their everyday living situation.
So how might that anger manifest itself? Last week, we had Intelligence Chief Dennis Blair talking about how current economic conditions could lead to global instability. Do you think there's any chance that we'd see riots in the streets here in this country?
Well, you know, historically, something to be remarked about the American people is how relatively docile they've been in the face of comparable economic calamities, I think particularly of the Great Depression, where at the comparable moment in the Great Depression, which would be about March of 1930, if we date the beginnings of this one from the collapse of Lehman Brothers in September of last year, what was remarkable was how little protest there was in the streets. And in fact, all the way through the election of Franklin Roosevelt, he remarked on it several times during the 1932 campaign, how submissive, how docile, how passive, how the American people simply didn't protest in the streets and piazzas of the country what was going on. And this has been a great puzzle to historians and others. And the best explanation I've ever come across for this is that what we saw in that moment, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of it now too, is a manifestation of this old American value of individualism. It's in our cultural DNA that we blame ourselves or credit ourselves for our situation in life, and we don't reflexively go to a collective or political attitude when a calamity like this befalls us.
Let's look back a bit more at what was going on during the Great Depression. What other comparisons do you see between what was happening then and what's going on right now?
Well, the biggest one that struck me in recent months, I just read just a day or two ago the unemployment reports for the last 3 or 4 months of 2008. And the monthly unemployment rates, new people going unemployed, was approaching 600,000 per month, which is quite comparable proportionately to the average rate at which people went unemployed in the early 1930s, which averaged about 320,000 people per month for about 4 years. And the country was then about half the size that it is today. So if this trend holds, it really is a powerful sign that we're headed for something quite comparable with that great calamity of the 1930s.
One of the reasons why Americans like to study history is so that we can learn from the mistakes of our past. Looking back, what do you think the president and lawmakers should be doing now to make sure that outrage doesn't get out of hand in this country?
Well, I think they've already done a lot. And in fact, to give the outgoing Bush administration its small mite of due, even they collaborated with the incoming Obama administration to take aggressive action on the part of the Federal Reserve and the fiscal programs of the federal government and so on to try to catch this thing in the bud and take powerful counteraction against it. The biggest lesson, it seems to me, from the onset of the Great Depression, 1929, 30, 31, 32, was the absolute paralysis of the political system, not least of all because in both parties, not just the Republican Party, but in both parties, it was high orthodoxy that government had no big role to play in a crisis like this. And one of the reasons the New Deal is such an innovation in American politics is because it legitimated the notion that government did have a not only a possible role, but a necessary role to play to try to right an economic downturn of this magnitude. So we've already crossed that threshold. There's really very little debate now about whether or not the government should play a role. The debate is about the precise form that role should take and whether we've got the right instruments in hand or not quite the right ones. But that there should be some kind of government intervention, it seems to me, is now a matter on which there's consensus across the political spectrum.
David Kennedy teaches history at Stanford University. Thank you.
Thank you.